Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
A sultan falls in Turkey, a pharaoh is found in Egypt, and a kaiser weds in the Netherlands. It's November 1922.
100 years from today.
World News Update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The German Empire is gone. The Austro-Hungarian Empire is gone. The Russian Empire is gone. And now, following a decision by Turkey's Grand National Assembly, the Ottoman Empire is gone after two-thirds of a millennium. The country's new rulers, fresh from victory in the war against the Greeks, have voted to abolish the monarchy. His Majesty Mehmed VI, the 36th Sultan, will be the last. The Assembly has also ruled that with Constantinople under foreign occupation, Ankara, where the Assembly sits, will be the new capital. The Sultan's position had weakened in recent months. Since last August, he, his five wives, and his attendant eunuchs have been unable to leave the palace. He is not expected to remain long in Turkey. What happens to his other role as caliph is not yet clear. But the division of the post-war years, with the Sultan's advisers in Constantinople and Mustafa Kemal's regime in Ankara, both claiming to be the sole government of Turkey, is now over. The Ankara Assembly also abolished the post of Grand Vizier to the Sultan, and the present occupant of that office, Ahmed Tefik Pasha, has accepted that decision and has resigned. He will be the last Grand Vizier of the Ottoman Empire. There are worse ways to exit public life. On the orders of General Nuruddin Pasha, the former Interior Minister Ali Kemal was kidnapped from the barbershop of the luxurious Tokatlian Hotel in Constantinople. He was being transported to the gallows for execution when an angry mob, composed mostly of women, seized him from his guards. They assaulted him with knives and clubs, shredding his clothing and slashing his body and head with cutlasses. After what must have been excruciating torture, they dangled him from a tree, stoning him to death, and then smashing his skull to pieces. The blood-soaked remains were returned to the care of the authorities, who then decided to go ahead with their scheduled hanging, adding a placard bearing an Armenian first name, Artin Kemal, as a final indignity.
It's old man Johnson, kind of loose, got no mind but a good excuse. It's old man Johnson, please turn me loose. It's old man Johnson, turn me loose, got no money but a good excuse. It's old man Johnson, please turn me loose.
They wouldn't turn Ali Kemal loose, but the Johnsons definitely are. 19 years ago, Mr. Kemal married an English woman at Paddington in London. His son and daughter remain in Great Britain and have chosen to go under their maternal grandmother's name of Johnson. Turkey is no longer an empire, but it is gaining territory as part of its humiliating surrender to Mustafa Kemal. Athens has now turned over to the Turks the city of Saranta Ecclesias, which is Greek for 40 churches. The new owners are currently referring to it as Kirk Kilise, which is Turkish for 40 churches. But with all the fleeing Christians, it is doubtful whether it will need 40 churches. Or even four.
Our way.
Before there were sheikhs in Araby, there were pharaohs. Few men are more expert in that field than the Egyptologist Howard Carter, who since his resignation as Inspector of Monuments for the Egyptian Antiquities Service has enjoyed the patronage of the Earl of Carnarvon for his excavations in the Valley of the Kings. Lord Carnarvon was said to be dissatisfied with the results, and it is reported that this season is to be Mr. Carter's last. Now, however, Egypt is abuzz with rumours that Carnarvon and Carter's men have discovered the tomb of Tutankhamun, last pharaoh of the 18th dynasty, who ruled some 1,300 years before the birth of Christ. At Al-Uqsa, the ancient city of Thebes, Mr. Carter's water boy is said to have stumbled upon a stone that is the first step of a staircase cut in the bedrock. The great archaeologist has sent a telegram to Lord Carnarvon, who is said to be en route to Egypt with his daughter, Lady Evelyn. We will bring you any updates as this story unfolds.
Every morning, every evening, ain't we got fun? Not much money, oh, but money.
Not much money and not much fun either. In Paris, the Chamber of Deputies has unanimously approved Prime Minister Raymond Poincaré's decision that France should not have to pay its war debts until it has collected the reparations due from Germany. In turn, at a conference in Berlin to discuss the financial crisis in the new German Republic, economic experts have submitted a detailed report to the government advising that Germany must declare a two-year moratorium on reparations payments in order to avoid the country's total economic collapse. Meanwhile, the German mark continues to fall to record lows, over 6,000 marks to a US dollar, over 25,000 to a pound, although it's hardly worth reciting the numbers as they will be even worse in an hour.
The bells are ringing, ringing, ringing for me and my gal. The birds are singing, singing for me and my gal. Everybody's been knowing to a wedding they're going, and for weeks they've been sewing every smoothie and down. They're congregating for me and my gal. The blossoms waiting for me and my gal. And sometime I'm gonna build a little home for you, for three or four or more, in some land for me and my gal.
The bells are ringing for him and his gal, the former Kaiser Wilhelm II, who lost his empress just last year, has remarried at Doorn Castle, his home in exile in the Netherlands. His new bride is Hermine, Princess Royce of Greiz. It is not a popular union. Only 28 guests were invited to the nuptials, and they were booed by a crowd of German monarchists as they arrived at the castle. Can a walnut whip kill you? A box of the very popular walnut whip chocolates arrived at Scotland Yard addressed to the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, Sir William Horwood. He assumed they were a birthday gift from his daughter. Ate just the one and then fell violently ill. Only the swift intervention of nearby police surgeons saved his life from death by poisoning. Who would wish to poison the boss is perplexing the finest minds at Scotland Yard.
Here's a Japanese sandman sneaking on with a view. Just an old second-hand man, he'll buy your old days from you.
Never mind the Japanese Sandman, what about the Irish Sandman? 2 decades ago, The Riddle of the Sands became a huge bestseller and a highly influential novel, with its warnings of German militarism that helped rouse the British War Office from its slumbers. The Riddle of the Sands is how its patriotic English author became a violent Irish Republican revolutionary. But he did. In a month's time, Southern Ireland is due to become a self-governing dominion of the British Empire, a status to which Mr. Childers is implacably opposed. As a senior figure in the Irish Republican Army, he was bicycling the 200 miles from County Kerry to Dublin for a clandestine meeting with Eamon de Valera. He stopped for the night at his old home of Glendalough. Soldiers from the Irish Free State Army burst in and arrested him. He will be tried for treason. In the United States elections, the Democrats have made big gains in both the House of Representatives and the Senate, but not enough to change control of Congress. The Republicans' 2-to-1 majority in the House has fallen from 302 to 131 to a much closer 225 to 207. That's right. They lost 77 seats, but still keep control. Likewise, in the Senate, the GOP's 60 to 36 majority has fallen to 53-42. At the Riley No. 1 mine in Spangler, Pennsylvania, 112 men showed up for the morning shift. At 7:20, there was a tremendous explosion, and 79 of them are now dead. The Treasury Secretary, Andrew Mellon, has ordered the release of all 20 foreign vessels seized at sea more than 3 miles from the coast of the United States. This is a swift and total reversal of policy following strong protests by, among others, the British government, which objected to the U.S. Coast Guard's capture of English and Canadian ships. For the moment, you still have to take the road to Gundagai, but perhaps very soon you'll be flying there. We have reported previously on Australia's somewhat cumbersomely named Queensland and Northern Territory Aerial Service. It has now begun regularly scheduled air services at Longreach, Queensland. Pilot Hudson Fish and lone passenger Alexander Kennedy departed the airfield in an Armstrong Whitworth FK-8 biplane bound for Cloncurry in the outback. We all know the stories of Cinderella and Little Red Riding Hood, but that hasn't stopped Laugh-O-Gram Studios in Kansas City making them into hit animated pictures. Now Laugh-O-Gram's talented young director is back with another familiar tale retold for the big screen, Puss in Boots. Walt Disney is the director's name, and he seems to have figured out that there's gold in these ancient fairy tales. Have you seen the new picture, The Headless Horseman? It's based on Washington Irving's famous legend of Sleepy Hollow and stars Will Rogers as Ichabod Crane. But one reason it's impressing audiences at the Symphony Theatre in Los Angeles is nothing to do with the actors or the script, but because it's the first full-length picture to be photographed on panchromatic stock. What's that? Well, most pictures are orthochromatically photographed, and that's fine, but it's why clear blue skies appear cloudy and blonde hair appears washed out and blue eyes appear white and red lips appear black and all the other blemishes distract and mar even the most artistic enterprise. Panchromatic stock converts colour into a much more nuanced range of greys, but it does cost 2 to 3 times as much, so we will see whether it catches on. In sports news, Mickey Walker has taken boxing's world welterweight title away from Jack Britton with a unanimous decision at Madison Square Garden. In college football, It wasn't supposed to turn out like this. The Penn Quakers are the football team of the University of Pennsylvania, one of the Ivy League's Big Four teams. The Alabama Crimson Tide? Well, they're the football team for the University of Alabama, which is not in the Ivy League. Yet playing at home at the newly renovated Franklin Field in Philadelphia, the previously unbeaten Quakers managed to lose 9-7 to the Alabama boys. What a night for Alabama sports and for Southern football. When the news reached Tuscaloosa, bonfires were lit and the town parted as never before.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Oh, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back.
If you saw Sam Thompson at the old ball game, you never forgot him. He was one of the taller players at 6'2". He had a very prominent handlebar moustache, one of the strongest arms of any outfielder, and still holds the RBI record, runs batted in, for a single game, 61, from August 1894, when he was with the Phillies. He was serving as an election inspector on election day when he was felled by a heart attack. Sam Thompson is dead at 62. A day after he was captured in Tepehuanes by federal troops, General Francisco Murguia, who had attempted to overthrow Mexico's president, Alvaro Obregón, was taken to the public square and executed by firing squad. General Murguia was 49. Juan Carrasco had just 3 months of schooling and could neither read nor write, but he rose to become a general in the Mexican Federal Army. The fall of President Carranza ended General Carrasco's political ambitions, and he became a fervent anti-Obregonista, determined to overthrow the government of President Obregón. He was en route to Durango to foment revolution when he ran into a detachment of federales and a tough hand-to-hand battle ensued. He was killed along with seven of his men. General Carrasco was 44. Harry Hampton was a sergeant in the 2nd Battalion, the King's Liverpool Regiment, during the Second Boer War and won the Victoria Cross, the highest award in the British Empire for gallantry in the face of the enemy. But a great war hero has come to a sad end. There are those in the more lurid newspapers who say he jumped in front of an oncoming train at Twickenham Railway Station. But eyewitnesses report that his leg buckled and he simply fell on the track, the leg having been injured in a fall from a London bus platform 2 years ago. Harry Hampton is dead at 51. Russian knows that song from the Civil War, White Army, Black Baron. Lieutenant General Viktor Pokrovsky was one of the White Army's best commanders, but the Black Baron didn't come through for him. General Pokrovsky led his men to victories over the Bolsheviks at Enim and Georgievskaya. However, because Pyotr Wrangel, the Black Baron, did not appoint him to any top job, he wound up leaving the Crimea and continuing his anti-communist activities from the Bulgarian city of Kyustendil. He has been killed, resisting arrest by Bulgar police conducting a murder investigation. General Pokrovsky was 33. We reported last year on the trial of a Bradford trouser salesman, John William Gott, for blasphemy. His conviction at the Old Bailey was upheld by the Lord Chief Justice, Lord Trevethan, who ruled that it does not require a person of strong religious feelings to be outraged by a description of Jesus Christ entering Jerusalem, quote, like a circus clown on the back of two donkeys. Mr. Gott was released from prison less than 3 months ago, but in poor health. He is dead at 56. John F. Kennedy, known to all as Jack, was the last notorious train robber of the Old West, but he made the mistake, like so many others, of going a job too far. His holdup of a southbound passenger train of the Frisco, the St. Louis-San Francisco Railway, at a small halt near 76 Missouri, was characteristically well planned, and he and his accomplice, Harvey Logan, made it back to their getaway car. Alas, six postal inspectors, three railroad special agents, and two sheriff's deputies were hidden in the brush. An inspector called on them to halt. In the moonlight, the agents saw the glint of Kennedy and Logan's revolvers in their hands and pumped the outlaws full of lead. Jack Kennedy is dead at 52. And that's the way of the world, November 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
Do you enjoy the 100 years ago show? Well, we're doing it live on the 2023 Mark Stein Cruise, and in a part of the world where 100 years ago there was more history happening than anybody needed. Italy, Croatia, Montenegro, Greece. Aside from the 100 years ago show, we'll be doing a Sunday poem, Song of the Week, Tales for Our Time, all your favourite Stein Online features, plus the Mark Stein Show with special guests from America, Canada, Britain, Australia, Europe. A week of Steiny on the Briny. Hope you'll want to join me. More details at steinonline.com and marksteincruise.com.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and O'Kill Media, all rights reserved.